Okay, thank you everybody for coming together tonight to help me celebrate my 50th birthday and make it special for me. And thank you. I really appreciate it. Showing no scars. I will never forget the tall gray hippie who wore the red bandana and danced alone to bands at the Decade, his long arms flowing from his skinny shoulders. I was a lone dancer too, and one night he took me aside. He wanted to tell me about Bono. When U2 came through in 1980, youngsters on their first world tour. Before the show, after sound checks, a few men took Bono out to the alley and beat him up. Later, they respected him because he did the show anyway, singing bruised and bloody. I didn't ask why the men beat up Bono, why they needed to turn him into Jesus soaring above his own crucifixion. Maybe that hippie was crazy, crazy as his solitary dance. His story, a snapshot of that old, tough Pittsburgh, closed to the outside world, even as our rivers drift away toward distant states and rumored Mississippis. Now Bono's on the cover of Rolling Stone again, soulful, old, showing no scars. Now the Decade's been closed for a long time, same with the Electric Banana. Now there are gastropubs in Market Square, and I am a prisoner of the changing city, shuffling the same ancient sidewalks. These next two poems are about a relationship that was very fulfilling, but very intense and a little bit scary. So this first one is called Why I Think I Lost You. Hot shower spray pisses on my neck and shoulders. I find white hairs growing at my nipple, the one you pinched raw purple. You barebacked me. I screamed into the pain. I curved my hand to clean my groin of its sediment, its sentiment. I miss you. I didn't lose you, but that is my secret. Am I more guarded, turning bare buttocks to a hard man? Sometimes. The need still rages in me to be filled, to get drilled. I hope I will survive the act in every way. I try for nice guys, same reason. But I'm still drawn to the fist, the glower. I step into deep currents twice, many times. In my mind, he will never be hard enough. The white taxi stopped for me and asked who I love. I barely stammered your name when it suddenly drove away, leaving me to wander on foot toward the purple receding buildings. And this poem should not be construed as a poem denying global warming. It's just that it has a sci-fi premise in which there's a sort of wild goose chase, which is meant to symbolize a relationship. When we two were astronauts, our mission came first. Our goodbyes choked on chromium. You left me on the dead star to get the precious scrum back to dying Earth, only to find that Earth was not dying after all, for lack of scrum or anything else. Greener than ever, she welcomed you home with her tilting girls, her lilting trees. Light years burred all memories of me, and you wondered why you ever rocketed all that way, only to shed my dark dot on the night, indistinguishable from the night. Hey, I know what I said. Stay away. Don't you ever come back here. But forget what I said. It was lack of oxygen, the chromium talking. I miss your body, its consoling heat and dirt. And what will you do now with all that scrum? Does it still seem precious? From where I am, I see you tonight in restless hero's sleep. Leave that marriage bed and come to your window. Confess all to naked sky. Line yourself straight to my hole. Goodbye. Across the aisle in Amtrak coach, a teen boy and girl asleep in each other's arms, shoulders crooked into hard little pillows, his shaggy hair across her breast. We sold all the gold, all the good silverware. What we did not sell off, we let the junkies steal. We said goodbye to middle class. Meanwhile, out of need, we exposed ourselves to strangers on the internet, nameless and faceless. Restlessly, I keep watch over their slumber and the deeper slumber of my country passing by. Post-internet hate poem. Now that you've wasted your life here in this small corner, you've destroyed it everywhere in the world. C.P. Cavafy. You told yourself they were those foolish things, the old first-ended loves when you were 18 or 25. You certainly wasted yourself enough with pursuing them. You became a scandal face, fixated at forlorn volcanic adolescence, craving to lavish credence and moisture on those at the stage where the world first thrashed your own gentle attempts at becoming. So you never escape the bastards of time, for they are plugged into every network. My conflicts with others have been asinine, as conflicts always are. Yes, I am an ass. But can't an ass also be lovely? Can't it emit some kind of metaphoric beauty? Can't its roundness serve a castlehold refuge for someone in his need today? Doesn't its roundness transcend genders, biology? It's the cherub turning toward what he loves. It's the dimpled cheek, the winking eye. Hear it cry plangent tears. I never stopped my lonely walk away, as you once called it, from family, from everything, even in early morning rain with my heart on its knees. But I am not alone. My heart is not wan. We are young or standing at the start of life, new or old, whatever, whatever. We are children still and are adults in all the ways that matter. Stand by my constitution even when it binds. Let's wrap our arms then around our shoulders and stride unharmonious down the mud. Autumn 1992. After midnight, in front of the pool hall, the one with a blowjob alley behind it, I'd walked up and down long enough to get looks. Two blonde boys crossed the street to follow me, high school football jerseys, baseball caps. It was a muggy Friday night. They carried hooch in brown paper bag, and someone sold it to them. Someone was letting them drink it. their threats getting louder at my back. I could have wandered down that alley and set myself a trap, gotten a beating, and who knows what else. Would they have broken their bottle on my head? That could have been my last knowledge of Earth. I am someone this could happen to, anyone's prey, turned on by the nearness of terror of death. And then I made myself walk faster toward the brighter lights, the local plaza, people out enjoying the night air. Green vertigo. Your woman was in Chicago, holding you in suspension. We made out on your roof after smoking a joint. You pointed to the sky as if it held an answer in itself. Then you spoke again about jumping off the roof, that option. And the treetops tugged you in green vertigo. I was 18 and in love with you. I gripped your hand to hold you back, not to seal a pact, though I guess I wouldn't have let you jump alone the way I felt about you then. Okay, this next poem reveals things that even I'm kind of ashamed to tell you, but it's dedicated to a wonderful person who used to live in Pittsburgh, and I knew her when she did. She's also a very good poet. Her name is Jane McCreary. The poem is called Tragically Cute. I am alone in a record store before the ceremony at the August Wilson Center. I was nominated but did not win. No one left to share this partial triumph, though I did ask Kyle from Grindr, and he almost agreed to come, intrigued by the sound of something literary, that Gibbon disciple tracing the decline and fall of young gay white manhood. I don't give a damn about his mind, my horrid reverse snobbery in favor of athletic bodies, tragically cute faces. He's my worst weakness. He donated to the Trump campaign, though he makes min wage. He said he couldn't wait for the apocalypse when he would rule the wasteland with fear. I asked him what ideas he would rule by. Tradition is all we need, he warned me. I should despise him, and here I want to suck his cock. I even offered to deep throat his Luger. It's no wonder I'm alone, slouching to my slot among downtown's shadows, burying myself in a record store, buying Mahler concerts for a buck apiece, their lonely abstruseness calling out to my own on our discount shelf. Adorno said, everything in Mahler tends downwards, ever downwards, toward depraved depths. Culture's still the only friend, the final family, but what good is it? What does it protect? What has it done but survey me from picture hooks and shelves, always shelves? Culture eats shelves. It will never have enough. I'm an excretion of culture, turning white and hard. No, I'm undecided, that terrible weight to be swayed, to be won. I stand when my name is called and take the polite applause, not meant for me so much as the thought of trying. As Sweet Jane liked to say, they don't play your records in your own hometown. Thank you.